Will you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. This is the word of God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you for your word. And it's simply amazing that over thousands of years, this word of yours contained in the Bible has come down to us, preserved so that we might know your story amongst us, how we ought to live our lives as Christians, and what we look forward to in the future. So, Heavenly Father, by your Holy Spirit today, just inspire us. May we learn more about you and about ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. So we start a new study today in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and over the next few weeks we'll be taking a look at this book. Like many of Paul's early writings to the churches in the first century, they're full of advice to Christians in those new churches who, it seems, were often struggling with the same things that we struggle with today. So we may see ourselves in the mirror image of this church as we look through 1 Thessalonians. But before we do that, let's just take a brief look at the background of this church, the history of it, what we know about it. Paul probably wrote this letter to the new Christians in Thessalonica around the year 50 A.D. And he wrote it to a city of great importance to the eventual establishment of Christianity in those early years. The city of Thessalonica was situated on the busiest trade route of the Roman Empire. And if Christianity took root here, It would probably spread east into Asia and west until it eventually came to Rome itself, the center of the Roman Empire in those days. Paul had some anxiety for these new believers in Thessalonica. As the truth of the gospel won over more and more people, there was a group of very jealous Jews and some evil men from the marketplace who accused the young Christians of acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, the Roman emperor. Now, this whole story you can read very briefly, recorded in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 17, verses 5 to 7, where it indicates that they caused a huge uproar in the city and they dragged some Christians out of a man's house to face the city's leaders. And this is one of the very first persecutions that the early church suffered. And it would certainly, of course, not be the last. We have much of that going on in our world today, where Christians are losing their lives for their faith. After several agonizing months away, Paul, in his anxiety about what was happening in that new church, could stand it no longer. So he sent one of his trusted co-workers, the young man Timothy, to go and report on the welfare of the believers in this early church. And in response to Timothy's very good word about them, he wrote a letter to them from the city of Corinth, where he was at the time, to affirm their steadfast faith, to urge them to excel even more in their faith, and to inform them what he thought they could expect in the future. So with that as a very brief introduction to this letter, let's turn to the letter itself and hear what Paul has to say. In this first part of the letter, I believe that Paul has a question in the back of his mind. He was really wondering, as they probably were themselves, as to whether or not this new Christian church has the right stuff to do the job which God has chosen for them. Given the strategic geographical importance of Thessalonica, will the church be able to respond to the challenge that God is giving them in this early world? Now, churches go through this periodically. It isn't just this church at Thessalonica. It's our church here, too. Are we made of the right stuff to respond to the challenge that God has given us as a congregation to move forward? I think so far we've been pretty good at that. And in the next couple of weeks, a lot of things are going to come together for Hammond Bay Church. As guided by the Holy Spirit, we'll see whether we are a church with the right stuff. But let's see what Paul says about these new Christians. Well, first of all, he thanks God for them in verses 1 and 2. Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. These people are memorable people. As far as we know, Paul was possibly only there 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, a very short period of time, at the most, living with them. In Acts chapter 17, verse 2, it says that the only priest in the synagogue for three Sabbaths. He wasn't there very long. But when he was there with them, it seems like he did a remarkable job for God. As many people in that city were converted and became Christians, and the early church there was started. And they were so memorable that he continually is thanking God for them. Now I wonder, in our own lives, are we the kind of people that others are thanking God for? What kind of qualities might we have to be that kind of person? Perhaps taking time with people and being sensitive to where they are in their lives. Have you had people like that in your life? Who have come alongside of you and sensing your hurt? Well, wherever you are in your life, they have become an encourager to you. Maybe we in this church, with our record in that area, certainly need to continue to do that. More than likely, if we're those kind of people, there will be others who will indeed remember the impact that we have on their lives. So I think that, first of all, the scripture tells us that a church with the right stuff will be full of people who are memorable for the very right reasons. And others will be continually thanking God for us. Secondly, Paul remembered them as people which, he says in verses 2a and 3, have a work of faith, a labor of love, and steadfastness in hope. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the kind of people that bring out the best in us. Certainly it's not the long-faced, grumpy pessimist of the world to do that for us. It's people of faith, people of love, people of hope who do that for us. And Paul remembered these qualities in the Thessalonian Christians. He has come to Corinth from their city in weakness and in much fear and trembling. That's what he says in 1 Corinthians 2-3. But in his heart, he carried the memory of their encouragement from the very brief time that he spent with them. I wonder if you've ever found yourself in a tough spot, and suddenly the memory of somebody else's words of wisdom come back to you. Or perhaps you recall their steadfast faith or their kindness to you, and it's the inspiration you need to go on. It could be a parent. And in my own life, it's often been some of my mother's words to me that have come back to me at certain times and inspired me. Little things that she would say. For instance, she would say to me, "Don't ever go to bed angry." Good advice. But it was scriptural, where it says in scripture, "Don't let the sun go down on your anger." She knew the scriptures and she applied it in her life. She shared it with her children. And, you know, I'm in my 70s and I remember my mother's words. Words of wisdom. words of encouragement, and it's an inspiration to me to go on, to do the right thing, to be part of a church that has the right stuff. In the summer of 1989, Mark Wellman, who was a paraplegic, gained national recognition by climbing the sheer granite face of Al Capitan in Yosemite National Park. On the seventh and final day of his climb, the headlines of the Fresno Bee read, "Showing a Will of Granite." And accompanying the headline was a photo of Wellman being carried on the shoulders of his climbing companion, Mike Corbett. A subtitle said, "Paraplegic and partner prove no wall is too high to scale." Now, what many people did not know was that Mike Corbett scaled the face of Al Capitan three times in order to help Mark Wellman pull himself up once. Are there people in your life who you remember as carrying you on your on their shoulders through hard times? And have you in turn been able to be that person to others? Paul says that when the gospel came to the Thessalonians, it was not merely empty words, but it was backed up by the lives of people. And he says, "They are the kind of men we prove to be among you for your sake." Verses 4 and 5. "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. And you know how we lived among you for your sake." So in the Christian church that has the right stuff, there will be lots of people who simply practice what they preach, living their lives authentically as Christians in the world. Thirdly, in verses 6 to 8, Paul affirms them. He says this, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. And the Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it." And he affirms them, you see, for what they have been doing as new Christians. I wonder if you can remember back to those first days when you decided to become a Christian. There's something great about being a new Christian. And I just wish that we all could continue to have the enthusiasm and excitement of those first days as a new Christian. Why does the fire of our first love have to grow cold? What happens to our faith at times, which dampens the work of the Holy Spirit within us? And it's because of that that we continually need to seek a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit on our lives to fire us up and give us holy boldness to be authentic Christians wherever we go and whatever we do. Paul is so excited about these new believers whose faith has already become a great example to others. He says that everywhere he goes, people know about them. Do people know about the Christians in Hammond Bay Church? Are we recognized for our love and our zeal and our faith in this world today? We should be. It's so great in the eyes of the Apostle Paul that he says that wherever he goes, he has found that in many places he does not even have to say a word about the gospel, because the gospel is being lived out in the lives of these enthusiastic new Christians who have been impacted by the Thessalonians. People liked what they saw happening in their lives, those life-changing experiences of accepting Jesus as Savior. That was a witness in itself. Stories told of a little boy who suffered from bad nightmares. And one night as his parents lay sleeping, he started to cry. His father had just fallen into a very deep sleep, those first sleeps of the night. And he wasn't easily awakened. And when he finally heard his son crying, he was so tired that he found it very hard to get up and go to him. So he called out to his son, "Look, you'll be all right. God will take care of you." But the little lad was not to be consoled. And he persisted by saying, "I don't want God, I want somebody with skin." Well, you see, that little boy wasn't far off the mark. People today who may not understand who God is are looking for people with skin, people who have themselves become Christians and are living out the reality of being Christians in their lives. And when they touch people's lives, it's the touch of humans, people touched by God who can touch other people's lives, people with flesh. So the church with the right stuff will be full of people whose faith is contagious and it spreads to other people in their circle of friends and acquaintances. Finally, Paul is reporting their good deeds to others in verses 9 and 10. "For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath." Now you can imagine Paul here. He feels like he's had some success in Thessalonica. And he wants to get out there and tell the exciting news of the gospel success there. But because of how they live their lives, he's beaten to the punch before he can ever utter a word. The Thessalonica church is already known in that world. And as the reports of their changed lives spread farther and farther, Paul must have laughed and marveled at these Thessalonians who had turned from idols, from their heathen worship, from their pagan lives. And now they had two purposes in life: to serve a living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. You know, they weren't really anticipating the Lord's return so much that they were neglecting the present reality of what they should do. As someone once said, they weren't so heavenly minded that they weren't any earthly good. And that can happen to us at times. And they were becoming involved in their world. But at the same time, they weren't forgetting about the future. They had a good balance in their Christian life. And we all need that. A church with the right stuff will be full of people with this kind of balance in their lives, doing what they're called to do today as Christians, but anticipating at some point the return of Jesus Christ. that he will come back and intervene into the history of our world. I wonder, just hearing all of this morning, if you believe that the church at Thessalonica is going to make it, that it's going to be successful in the mission that God has for it. I think so. And we will find out from Paul what he thinks about it as we study the rest of his letter here. But in the meantime, as we look forward to our future here at Hammond Bay Baptist, let's strive to be a church with the right stuff, known for what we do in this community as we touch people's lives, having a balanced Christian life, waiting for the return of Jesus and working like crazy to bring in the kingdom of God until he does come. That's our mission. And it's a church that has the right stuff. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this church in Thessalonica that tells us a lot about what a church should be. We pray that in our own lives we will be people that have the right stuff, that we will be involved with others, that we will let people know about our faith, that we will have an impact on the people around us. And then we'll be also waiting and watching and yearning for the return of Jesus.